And I would like to introduce the first speaker, who is going to speak about R at Microsoft. Please, David Smith, you're welcome to the stage.
Thank you for coming. All right. Yeah, if we can get the slides up on the screen too, that'd be great. So I'm David Smith. I am now from Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for a little over a year now. May last year, Microsoft acquired a company that I was working for 7 years or so before that called Revolution Analytics. We had built up our name as the R company. And so Microsoft really put a big investment into the R language and is paying a lot of attention to R. And what I'd like to do in the presentation today is just give you a little bit of background and a bit of news into what Microsoft has been doing with R over the past year, which can be summarized as this, you know, basically building R into everything that Microsoft does with data. So let me run through some of those things. First of all, is Microsoft R. Microsoft R is the new name for the product that we had at Revolution Analytics, which was then called Revolution R. It's continued on. And in fact, Microsoft's been putting a lot of effort into Microsoft R as the fundamental unit that Microsoft is building into other parts of the Microsoft stack. Now, Microsoft R is just R. There's nothing different in terms of R itself. We use R from the R Foundation. We just build it using our own systems. And then we add additional things to it to make it better in certain ways. You're probably most familiar with Microsoft R Open, previously called Revolution R Open. It is simply the R that you know and love, but we make it run a bit faster. And we do that by linking it to multi-threaded math libraries so that when you do a matrix inversion on a 2000 by 2000 matrix, it uses all four cores on your laptop instead of just doing it in single-threaded mode. And it uses more efficient algorithms. It doesn't change R at all, it just changes the math libraries that R use. We also put some additional things, we actually add some packages to Microsoft R Open to make it work better for reproducible research, specifically the checkpoint package, which makes it easy to work with different versions of different VAC packages with different projects and make it all work together easily. And that's the core of some additional products that Microsoft has since brought out on top of Microsoft R Open, particularly the Microsoft R Client, which makes it possible to work with data sets which are bigger than memory on your local laptop. And then there's something called Microsoft R Server, which in turn makes it possible to distribute computations across big data architectures, things like Hadoop and Spark and databases like SQL Server. And that incorporates everything that's in Microsoft Client and Microsoft R Open as well. But as I mentioned, you know, all of these things are providing the fundamental R engine that then Microsoft is making available to all of its customers that use other data-related products in the Microsoft stack. The first one I want to talk about here is something called Power BI. Looks like the fonts have been messed up a bit in the translation here. The application is Aircraft Predictive Maintenance. So this is an interesting application that comes from our data science team. It's a dashboard that could be used by an operations manager and an airline. I don't know if you've ever sat on a plane and then the pilot comes at the intercom and says, you know, there's a red light on the dashboard. We have to get the maintenance crew in before we can take off, and then you're stranded for hours on end. If airlines could predict when those types of maintenance events occur in real ahead of time, you could avoid a lot of those delays. And of course, you can do that with data. You've got a lot of data about flights. You've got a lot of data about incidents of maintenance. And then you can use that to predict when maintenance incidents might occur and then alert the airlines to that. What you see on this screen is a dashboard created using Power BI, which is taking data from an airline operation, showing where what flights are actually in the air at any time, where the planes are located, and here's a map of those locations as well. And over here on the left-hand side is a dashboard showing that a few of those planes are in red, indicating they've been predicted according to some model that a maintenance event is likely to occur very soon and some preventative maintenance should occur on those flights to avoid that delay sitting on the tarmac. And the underlying computations that drive that model are in part done with R. This is a workflow that's incorporating various pieces of data and analyses. But just to summarize it, we've got sensor data, which is coming from the black boxes from the aircraft. And we also have the maintenance events, which come from the maintenance records from those aircraft. And there's various nodes on this flow diagram. We can train lots of different types of models to try and predict those maintenance events, and then compare them to the actual records we have of failures on the ground, and then choose the best model to provide those scoring rules, which basically decide whether or not one of those airplanes gets flagged as red or orange and yellow, depending on those routines. And as you can see, it's quite small on the screen here, but some of those computations are being done using R running in the Azure cloud service, which then drives that dashboard that the airline operations manager sees. The actual underlying tool that is used to put together this workflow that involves R computations is something called Azure ML Studio. You can access it right now. It's a web-based drag and drop workflow type tool, a little bit like NIME, if you're familiar with NIME, which lets you connect together various data sources, various machine learning and data manipulation tools, and of course R code directly in a nice workflow like this. And one of the cool things about having all this running in the cloud is that you can then make it available as a web service to other types of applications. This particular simple workflow is actually a different application. It was to build a disease prediction app where we could take in on the left-hand side somebody's DNA, their SNPs, and on the right-hand side we could take a database of diseases which map particular gene sequences to likelihood of certain diseases, and then analyze that using R. You can see a little bit of the R code there, and then generate using the R code a list of diseases that somebody is likely to be subject to because of their DNA. And one of the cool things about all this is that there's one button down here on the bottom which just says publish as web service. Now you can take all of your R code and the flows of data in and the results that come out of it, and then make it into an API, which can then be called by, say, a mobile phone application, which in this case would take an input as somebody's DNA and as an output the diseases they might be subject to. And as an R programmer, this is actually really easy to do now. If you don't even want to use the drag and drop workflow environment, you can just directly from the R command line. There's a package which is available on CRAN right now. It's called Azure ML. And what it does, it lets you take an R function that you've written and basically publish that R function as a service to the cloud. So here's a little example. We've built a model using the LM function, the LME function, I think, in this case. And we want to take a function that actually does a prediction from that model. Here it's called Sleepy Predict. And then publish that function as a web service. And it's just a one-line call from the Azure ML function, which takes the function that you've written and then publishes it to the cloud. And what you get as a function in the cloud, as you can see on the right-hand side, is a web service. All you need is an API key, which basically controls who can access the web service that you've published. You provide it with the inputs that you've defined, and they're defined by the inputs to your R function. Your R function generates a number of objects. They become the outputs of that web service. And then you can call that, once again, from a mobile phone application. You can call that from any application you like, as long as you can call out to a REST API using JSON or anything like that. And in fact, that's something that we've made available right now through Excel. If you want to call any kind of R function from an Excel spreadsheet, you can do that right now using a plugin that exists for Excel called the Azure ML plugin. So in this particular example, I've already published one of my R functions directly to the Azure cloud using that Azure ML function I showed you a moment ago. And then by using this simple add-in to the Excel spreadsheet, I can call that function, passing as input cells from the Excel spreadsheet, and then the outputs can be dumped directly into the Excel workbook as well. And this is a really nice tool. If you ever wanted to provide, say, an Excel worksheet to hundreds of people that uses your R code but can never figure out how to get R installed on everybody's desktop to make it work, in this particular case, R is just calling to the cloud. There's nothing that needs to be installed in the local desktops. But their spreadsheets can take advantage of your code written in R that you've published out into Azure. Another example that we have of R running in the cloud, you might have seen this in the tutorial that Micheline and Andre gave on Monday, is the ability to run notebooks using R directly in the cloud. So this is, as Don Knuth said in the previous example, notebooks are kind of like a light version of literate programming. You don't have control over the order in which things appear, but you can intersperse rich text, markdown specifically, with R code and the output of R code, whether that's tables or function or graphics or whatever, that all appear in a nice document designed for a human to be able to read, but still encapsulates all the code that you've written in R. So directly within the Azure ML environments, you can just create a new workbook directly there and type on your web page the code, the R code that will be run, and intersperse that with Markdown that generates the actual document documentation that you'll see in that workbook. It lives on the cloud. You can publish it and share it to other people. They can see your code. They can rerun pieces of your code if you like, all using the R that lives on the cloud there. Another option that exists for running R in the cloud is something called the Data Science Virtual Machine. What the team have done is to package together not just Microsoft R, but a whole bunch of tools that you might be interested to use for doing data science in a cloud-based environment. So you have R there. You also have Python as part of the Anaconda distribution, which also incorporates the Jupyter Notebooks that we just saw. On the Windows version, it also includes Visual Studio, so you can actually program in all of those languages. You have all the shell tools available on the Unix side as well. And there are also various plugins related to what I've just shown you to be able to connect all the data science work that you do in that data science virtual machine to be able to publish results out into the Azure cloud, or to be able to publish the code that you run and have that run directly in the Azure cloud as well. It's really easy to set up and run. It's just simply a virtual machine. You can specify how big that machine can be, you know, 4 cores, 8 cores, 16 cores, 32 cores, how much memory and how much disk that machine will have, and then you can run that directly in the cloud. It's also very inexpensive. There's no licensing costs associated with any of this stuff. Most of it's open source, of course, anyway, but even the Microsoft stuff that's not open source in there is all free to use. All you actually pay for is the Azure infrastructure that you use, same way you would in any other cloud service. And if you've not used Azure before, there's a free trial that anybody can sign up for that gives you, I think, 200 hours worth of Azure usage that you can get right now. And I also mentioned Visual Studio. For anybody who's already using Visual Studio to program in C or Python or Java, you can now program R within Visual Studio as well, thanks to an open source add-in to Visual Studio called RTVS, R Tools for Visual Studio. For anybody who's familiar with RStudio, it pretty much does the same thing that RStudio does. It provides a syntax-aware editor for the R language. It provides a command line for interacting with R code. It provides a mechanism for working with projects. And it provides a step debugger, so you can actually step into R code. But for those people that are familiar with the Visual Studio environment, this provides a really comfortable place to work with R alongside of the work that are already doing in other languages. And like I said, you can download and use that with Visual Studio right now. And then probably the big thing that Microsoft has done with respect to R, which is probably the most surprising but probably the most impactful, is that Microsoft has brought R into SQL Server, specifically SQL Server 2016. If you're not familiar with SQL Server is Microsoft's flagship database. It's probably one of Microsoft's biggest products, even compared to Windows. A lot of people use SQL Server to manage data. And now people can actually call to R directly within the database itself. Now this is mainly important, for number one, for people that want to make R code run for lots of different people. Companies typically have a centralized SQL Server that they can publish the R code to, and then make that available through reports and charts and all sorts of things that are already using SQL Server, because they can write SQL, SQL code, that actually calls out to R to run the database. The other big impact of this is with respect to big data, because if people were working with very, very large data sets with R, that where the data was living in SQL Server, previously they had to export the data from SQL Server, run the R analysis in some other environment, and then transfer the results back. into SQL Server. And this could be a really, really time-consuming process. You know, when you're moving, you know, hundreds of terabytes of data, perhaps, you know, across the pipes, that can take hours sometimes just to move the data. The fact that you can just leave the data directly in the database and do those computations directly there makes a lot of difference for a lot of people. The actual example I have on the screen here comes from a video, which I'll give you the link to the blog later on, which is the Worldwide Telescope. It's actually an astronomical database with terabytes and hundreds and hundreds of terabytes of image data coming from the Sky Survey. And they use R to classify the galaxies that appear in that database, a spiral galaxy or an elliptical galaxy. Most of the galaxies that astronomers have photographed have not been classified, but they could do this automated process using classification in R to do thousands of galaxies per second, which makes a really big difference. But probably the most surprising part of this was that they did all this computation in Linux. Microsoft on Linux, who would have thought it? But that one thing that's been really surprising and gratifying to me, having joined Microsoft, is just how much you know, Microsoft has gotten religion around open source. You know, Microsoft really recognizes that open source is the way that developers work today. And when there's such good software that exists in the open source world, it just doesn't make any sense to re-implement it, but rather to integrate it into what we already have. And the same is equally true of R. You know, Microsoft has put a lot of investment behind R, we've seen on the product side. But Microsoft is also canny enough to realize that when it comes to open source, it's not just the software, the bits and the bytes that are the value. So much of the value in open source comes from the community as well. And Microsoft has, I'm very pleased to say, put a big effort into supporting the R community through the user groups and conferences like this and the live streaming today, and also through supporting the R Foundation and the R Consortium, being a platinum member of the R Consortium there as well. And just to wrap up, you know, one of the questions I get quite often is why is Microsoft doing this? And why is Microsoft putting such investment behind R? And I think the answer is the world has really changed, you know, when it comes to companies doing things with data. You know, it's about big data today. Everything is about big data and big data platforms. It's about doing things in the cloud and enabling things through mobile applications, as we saw earlier on. It's through the skills and the research of data scientists, you know, figuring out how to put all this together. And importantly, it's through the open source software and communities that underlies all of that. You know, Microsoft has recognized the importance of all of these things behind that revolution. I think that's why they put such investment into R, and that's why I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad everyone here is glad to be here as well. Thank you. And I'll just leave up a few links on the blog there as well.
Are there any questions or comments?
There's a mic coming in.
So if I write something and I want to package it up as a web service, put it on Azure,
yep,
and I want to pass data to that service, mm-hmm, to run it, what does it do with the data? Is the storage ephemeral, or is it?
Yeah, in that case, the storage in that case is ephemeral. The data is just coming into the web service runs, returns its values, and then everything goes away. I'm around. Feel free to find me at the Microsoft booth over in the Sponsor Pavilion if you've got any other questions. Thank you.